Why do fools fall in love? Why do words seem so gay? Lovers who at the break of day, why do they fall in love? Why does the rain fall from up above? Why do fools fall in love? Why do they fall in love? Why does my heart skip a crazy beat? For I know it well, the woman can tell me why. Oh, why? Tell me why. Why do they fall in love? Love is a foolish game. Love can be shame. I know who you'll see. What that fool is me. Tell me.
Steamer number 10 Theater in Albany, New York will present Woodstock's legendary a cappella powerhouse, The Phantoms, in their first concert in Albany this Saturday, March 22nd at 8 o'clock. Whether you're a fan of classic downtown doo-wop, Manhattan transfer-style vocalese, or the current batch of vocal reality shows like The Sing-Off, you will love the classic sound of The Phantoms. The Phantoms have sung and recorded with Eddie Money, Rick Danko, Hot Tuna, John Sebastian, and Father Guido Sarducci. Concert and club appearances have been with acts as diverse as Todd Rundgren, Roy Orbison, Lee Von Helm, Tony Williams and the Platters, Chubby Checker, and many more. Joe Vayette is with us. Did I do that right?
You did.
Okay,
very
excellent.
Well.
Joe Vayette is with us, and Kimberly Kay, members of The Phantoms, and they join us now. Thank you very, very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
First of all, you were just with us, and it's a delight to have you back.
How did
everything go with the Performing Arts of Woodstock?
It went actually wonderfully. Moon for the Misbegotten. We were actually held over a whole weekend, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm really here with my husband. We're actually newlyweds, Joe Vayette, although we've been together a long time. And my husband, Joe Vayette, is doing his first entree into acting ever. He got the bug from me, and he is in the next performance that Performing Arts of Woodstock is doing. It's their 50th anniversary. So we started with A Moon for the Misbegotten, and now he is in The Importance of Being Earnest, Oscar Wilde.
And terrified.
Oh.
He is.
Oh, wow. I know. Are you, what is the heft of your role?
Oh.
There's a lot of yes, sir. And thank you, miss. I'm playing two, a butler and a manservant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And, it's not a lot, but it feels like a lot to me. And it's fun. It's really fun.
Well, that's great.
I never intended to do this. But,
well, how did the Phantoms come to be?
The Phantoms, they basically were born in Brooklyn, where I grew up and I used to listen to and then sing with some of the street corner groups and just did it for fun. And then when we became a band in around 1980, 81, we started playing mostly music gigs, but we found that the a cappella things really went over well and it was easy to rehearse because you didn't have to plug anything in. And we started doing a whole lot of gigs, opening for large acts and doing a few things at Radio City Music Hall for the Royal Doo-Wop Show. And it's just been a very special sort of magical side thing that we've done, and we're starting to get a little more serious about it. We've done some concerts more over the last few years. And it's just, it's the purest form of music as far as I'm concerned.
How did you become a part of the...
I am going to host the show.
Okay.
And I have hosted several shows for the Phantoms, and particularly a cappella. Joe and I have a short attention span, so we feel that we like breaking it up with some interesting things. So I'm not only going to host the show, but I'm going to do some crazy magic. And Joe and I actually did a show together a while back where I was like Lucy Ricardo trying to get into Ricky's show. I kept changing gowns and using different techniques to break into the show. So I have perfected several magic tricks. I can actually produce a rabbit from Joe's pants.
It was a rhinoceros last
well,
time.
Yeah,
well, I have to work on the trick, all right? It was okay. A rhinoceros, right. But I'm practicing before Saturday.
Well, you're still newlyweds.
Yes.
and she will do the showstopper from our show that we did before called Mistress Alexandra. Right?
I have a dominatrix number. It's the only song I sing. And that will that's how I actually get in the show, ultimately. Yes, it's a show for kids.
You got to be there.
Yeah. So, and that will also be done a cappella, of course. And so I will be hosting it. And Joe is the master behind the Phantoms, though, and there are many wonderful people in the group, and their voices are amazing.
Oh, we heard a little bit of it coming in. And I mean, it's just incredible because do you know, after all of these years and having worked in it for as long, of what there is about it that is so infectious for us, the audience, that we love to hear it because it's happy, and yet not all of the subjects are happy. There is meaning to it. There is a point.
I think it's partially biological.
Yeah.
There's no sound in the universe as compelling as the human voice. Instruments try to mimic it, and I'm not saying instrumental music is of no use, but I kind of got stuck when I was 5 years old watching an Ed Sullivan show with my mom and dad, and Duke Ellington came on, and I just kept looking at them, you know, like, what's going on here? And they said, what's wrong? And I said, when are they going to start singing? Because this is pointless. And a piece of that has never left me. And it becomes the purest sound that you can hear. And then when people sing together, there's a certain kind of combination that happens. I also sing in an overtone chorus called Prana, which is very meditative, but completely a cappella. And I love playing in my band, and I have a few bands that I work with. But when you're doing the a cappella show, it's the furthest you can get from work as a musician, not that you can't get gigs, I mean.
Right.
But it's the least struggle.
And I've never really thought about this before, but give us a history lesson, if you can, about this came sort of after Barbershop Quartets. I mean, it was a little bit...
coming from the same place, I think. It's basically urban folk music, more urban folk music than... the Barbershop Quartet seemed a little more orchestrated with parts. In other words, like every person in a Barbershop Quartet has... a musical spot that they're going to do, the baritone, the tenor, the lead.
Right.
And for a little while
and
we
a
were
hat.
And a hat. for a little while we were rehearsing a group with Tony Levin and his brother. We were going to be doing some openers for Peter Gabriel's band. And it turned out that because of schedules, we couldn't get the rehearsals to go far enough to really get it tight. But it needed a ton of work. The a cappella thing is much more organic. And one of the reasons that we think it's a compelling show is because everybody sings a lead. You don't have one voice dominating the whole show, and we make sure we always have at least one lady in the group. We'll have two this time. You need differences in texture and tempo and feel to keep it interesting. But once you take care of that side of it, there's nothing missing. No one says, where's the drums or where's the...
Because the voices, to me, it's like listening to an orchestra. Sometimes I can't believe I'm just listening to voices without any musical instrument.
Because there's so much texture and richness.
Yes.
But also there's so much space. The next song that you're going to play is a great example, because in the bridge of this song, you know, I feel like when we do an a cappella arrangement, we do a lot of originals, but when we do an a cappella arrangement of something that people know and cherish, what we do is we get things down to the essence of the song. Not that the instruments and stuff aren't of any use, but you get the purest interpretation of the song. So there's a long section in this, Just My Imagination, for instance, Temptation song, where there's just a bass, bass note every quarter, and the lead is singing the song, and it's enough. And then when the voices come in, they come in slowly, and you really get to hear stuff. And also, as a performer, you really get to sing. I mean, I much prefer singing than singing while I'm holding my guitar and, you know, remembering what chords to play. A lot of people, after we do a show, they'll say, oh my God, that's amazing. It must be so hard. And I'm thinking, well, you know, really, it's quite a bit easier. You don't have the cymbals in your ears and you're not worrying about all these different things going on.
Because it's just you?
Because all you got to do is sing.
Yeah. But are you worried about the other people?
No. Because it's easier for them to sing too, and it's easier for everybody to be on key, and really just you know, it's really an energetic spiritual thing. It's a very pure thing. It's just a joy to do, and hopefully a joy to hear.
Absolutely. And I think that energetic and spiritual is an interesting part of it. Back to my original question of why it makes us feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I'm just blown away by the Phantoms a cappella.
We're going to, you promised more music, we'll hear some going out of our segment because we're just about out of time. But so what can people expect? This is the first Phantoms performance on Albany, so that's cool.
Not quite. We did a few things about 10 years ago, 12 years ago at the Paramount Theater with some other groups. It's the first one in a very long time.
Great.
We've mostly been working down in the city and up around and around Woodstock.
Excellent. So it is it's your concert at the Steamer No. 10 Theater in Albany, New York. It's this Saturday, March 22nd at 8 o'clock. And for more information, you can go to WMC.org, and we have /roundtable, and we have all the information that you need for that. Joe Vallette and Kimberly Kay, a delight to have you both back here. Wonderful to hear you, and thank you so much. Have a great, great Saturday night.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
I say to myself, you're such a lucky